Lord, we thank you for your awesome word. Lord, just the truth, that sets us free. You are the truth that sets us free. So, Lord, we pray now that you would just bless and anoint your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. I was just spending some time lately in several places. One is Ephesians chapter 6, which is the famous warfare chapter, right? The thing about Ephesians chapter 6, you have to understand what Paul is talking about starting in Ephesians chapter 1, and it kind of helps all of this come together with the armor and everything, okay? So it says, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the armor of God, so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm." So two places, it says put on and take up. Now, the way that's written, right, the verb tense, both verb tenses there, to take up and put on, is written in something called, one of my favorite tenses of the New Testament is called the aorist tense. The aorist tense is like a past tense word, that an event happened. Like when it said Jesus was crucified, that event happened, right? And it affects everything, right? But what happened there, everything that happened there happened to me. That's when the aorist tense. You can think, this thing is already done. It's a done deal, right? So when it says take up and put on, it's something that's already happened to you. You're just taking up and putting on what's that already there, right? That makes a lot of sense, right? But it says, listen to this in Galatians. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." Okay? Romans, it tells us, where's that verse there? I know I'm right around in it. "Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust." So, three different places talks about putting on. So, in other words, you're in Christ, right? You are clothed with Him. So, I want you to look at the armor in a different way. I want you to look at the armor as not a thing, but as a person. The armor of God is Jesus, okay? Because why would I be putting all these different things on? If I'm clothed with Christ, right, that's the ultimate armor. And a person, you can pray, it's okay. However you do it, however it works for you. But I can't really pray to put on this armor, because if I'm praying, then I'm praying something I don't have, and it's kind of like floating out of heaven on me. Well, when does it fall off, right? How many times do I have to put it on? And that means if I put it on, I can take it off, right? So the tenses there make sense in the way they're reading it, is that in Christ, this is what is yours. This is what you possess. And so I wear it, right? Does that make sense? It's just like we always say grace has a face, is Jesus. Well, the armor of God is a person, Jesus, and you're in Christ. And if you know Jesus, you're in that armor right now, all right? You just got to come to realize it. It says, "Therefore take up the armor," aorist tense, "that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm," stand firm. Stand in who you are. That's what it's saying. "You've done everything to stand, keep standing. Therefore, having girded your loins with truth," we talked about that Sunday, about what that meant to gird up your loins. And that with them, they had, since they wore mostly these long robes, if you would try to run in them, or, you know, you can get tangled up. And so what they do, they would take it and pull it up and tuck it in their belt. So it would be a short thing, like a skirt. So therefore, they could. When Jesus did that, when he washed the disciples' feet, he took his stuff, tucked it in, because if you try to get on your knees with the robe on, it's going to be complicated. You're going to pull on it. You know, if you've ever done that, we wear them. It's complicated. It'd be easier if they were girded up. They were real short. You know, we could move around a lot better. So you're girding up your loins with truth. You're standing in truth. And girding up, we talked about, is like, get ready, you know? That's how we battle. Gird you with truth. You stand in the truth. And you put on the breastplate of righteousness. And a couple of cool verses with that is that righteousness is not something you try to attain. Righteousness is something that you are. "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf." This is 2 Corinthians 5:21. "So that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." So because you're in Christ Jesus, you are the righteousness of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30 is another one. By His doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness from God and sanctification and redemption. Okay? That's who you are because you're in Christ. So you are, the reason that guards your heart, that means who you really are, right? To protect that is that you are righteous. So when the enemy comes and tries to hit you, you know, then you can just stand in who you are. Right? I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am holy and beloved before Him. Right? That's a wild one, but you really are. And I really am. Do I always act that way? No. But that's who I am. All right? So you got the breastplate of righteousness because you're in Christ. I'm going to make this go up a little bit right in the blurry. Cool. And having, see that word too, having girded your loins again, having put on the breastplate of righteousness is in the aorist tense. Okay? Having already put it on because you're in Christ is what he's saying. You've already done it. You're in Him. You are having put it on 2,000 years ago when you died in Christ. You were clothed with Him. All right? It's not supposed to really make sense. We're just supposed to enjoy it. Right? And already having shod your feet for the preparation of the gospel of peace. Already. Right? How blessed are the feet of those who bring, you know, Isaiah says, how blessed are the feet of those who bring good news, you know. Romans 10 talks about it too, when we're going out and sharing the gospel, how blessed are those feet. Well, your feet, when they would shod their feet, that means they would just put on these really thick sandals, had thick soles, right? Thick leather on top. So if anybody tried to whack your toe, they would hit that thick leather, you know. But when you were walking, then you don't mind walking on the thorns and the rocks, and which is a lot of it over there, right? You could just walk right on it. It's under your feet. Everything in Christ is under your feet because it's under His feet. Okay? Those are His feet. They're protected. You're shod. You can go. You can walk, right? You can take the gospel of truth. But that means everywhere you walk in your home, okay? Like God told Joshua, He's already given it to you, right? But if you fear that you're going to step on something. You know, we had stickers in our yard. We call them stickers in our yard when I was growing up. So if you ever went barefoot out in the yard, you would get stickers. You know, we had them all over the place. And so what you would do to keep from getting stickers is shod your feet or run really fast, because if you took off running really fast, then you wouldn't get those little stickers in your feet. And but you'd shod your feet. You didn't have to worry about the stickers or anything getting in your foot because they were shod. Okay? Same principle here. Your feet. Everywhere you go, He's already given you. Every place you step, He has already given it to you. And everything is under your feet. Okay? My buddy and I was talking today about we start from it. We hear that all the time. Victory is not something you're trying to attain or you're going to. This is where you start in victory. Okay? So, then addition to all, taking up, again, same word, the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And I thought about that verse we hear a lot in Galatians 2:20. It talks about, it's no longer I who live, but Christ now lives in me. And the life that I live now, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. But actually the way that's written is, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I have His faith. You are in union with His faith. That is the shield of faith, because I'm in union with His faith, right? He has all the faith. And so because I'm that, I'm in Christ, you know, when I get attacked, I know I'm in Christ. I've got this, you know, I've got the breastplate. I'm standing in truth. My feet are shod. I've got the truth of His word, His faith. Well, when I don't feel like I have any faith, you've got all the faith. You know, Scripture says to each has been given a measure of faith. And that word measure means full. You have the fullness of faith already, okay? So standing in that, when those missiles are coming at you, just in who you are, you know, they just kind of, they begin to bounce off. Right? Well, I don't have enough faith to fight. Yes, you do. You have all faith. Right? And take, again, the helmet of salvation. The word salvation means deliverance. It's a helmet on your head. Where's the war? Right here, right? Between the two ears? Well, just think that. You have the mind of Christ. Right? That's your helmet. Your helmet of salvation is because you have the mind of Christ. That is the protection. And salvation means everything that was brought to you. Redemption, forgiveness, everything in chapter 1, if you go back and read Ephesians chapter 1, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of my trespasses, been, you know, all those cool things. Forgiven, redeemed, belong to Him, right? That's your helmet. You already got it. So anything that opposes that, we take every thought captive. You ever think about what it means to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ? You're taking it to what Christ has already done, His obedience to the cross. I'm just taking it to His obedience, right? That everything has been crucified. Those aren't my thoughts anymore. Those in recognizing where the thoughts are coming from, I'm taking it to what He's already done. I'm taking it to the tetelestai, the finished work of Christ. That's what it means to take it captive. Right? And the sword of the Spirit, which we know is the Word of God. And in Revelation 1:16 and in Revelation 19:15, this is about Jesus. What does it say comes out of His mouth? A two-edged sword, right? The Word of God. His Word coming out. Sword. Because you're in Christ, Jesus living in you, right? No longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So that when I speak that, I speak His Word and declare it, it's like a two-edged sword that comes out and pierces the enemy. His Word. You know? God says this, right? It's Him. It's His words. We speak. Jesus said, I only speak what the Father says, right? When He spoke, two-edged sword, right? That just helps me so much, because knowing that Him is speaking, it's in me, you know, when He speaks a promise, or you in your, you know, wherever you are declaring the Word of God, you know, on your home, you walk through your house, and just this sword is just popping out of your mouth. You're just, you know, things are getting out of there. And of course, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, you know, or pray at all times in Spirit, because you're in Spirit, and you can pray with the Spirit, and pray in the Spirit, right? Really helpful. That's how I kind of have to stop here, but that's how I start every, things clear up for me when I pray in the Spirit. You know, foggy things become very clear. Okay. All right. Well, that was a short lesson on the armor of God in 15 minutes, but we could spend a lot more time there.